85 degrees in downtown Denver. Good afternoon, Colorado, and happy Thursday. It is the 3rd of August, 2023. I'm Stephen Tubbs. Leroy off today. Lou is in at the controls. Lori Kelman in our newsroom. Pleasure to have you along. We are on until just before 7 o'clock tonight, and it is a busy show. As always, of course, you're probably aware just about 2 hours ago, the former president, how about this? We'll start 3 hours ago. He gets off of his plane at Reagan National Airport in the greater D.C. area, takes a motorcade to a federal courthouse in downtown. We're talking about the former president of the United States, Donald Trump, in court earlier.
This indictment was issued against former President Trump while the investigation continues. So the special counsel, Jack Smith, is still pressing some of these alleged co-conspirators and other witnesses to further cooperate with the government as they build the case against Trump. It's almost like you're trying to fix the plane or change a plane's engine while it's landing.
CBS Newsman Robert Costa.
It was Trump, based on this indictment, leaning on members of Congress, leaning on people at the Justice Department, leaning on his own lawyers, leaning on state Republican officials and election officials, trying to get all of them to enlist in this idea that the election was stolen.
This will be the former president's third criminal arraignment this year. He is also, we should note, the early frontrunner for the Republican presidential nomination. Now, Trump and his lawyers are defending his actions as expressions of free speech. But even his own Attorney General Bill Barr saying just last night, free speech does not protect you from entering into a conspiracy. The other really interesting thing about this 45-page indictment, if you read through it, is that it notes the role of the former Vice President Mike Pence, who told reporters just yesterday that anyone who puts themselves over the Constitution should never be president of the United States.
Here is Congressman Donald Byron.
The Department of Justice has decided that if you're on the wrong side of the political aisle, they are going to come after you with everything possible. But if you're Hunter Biden, you get a sweetheart deal.
Ain't that the truth, brother?
The magistrate judge has read the four charges to Trump and the penalties, including the 20-year maximum sentence for the charge of conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding and an obstruction of an official proceeding. Trump remains looking at the judge as she slowly reads the charges and the max penalties. Trump has been read his rights, the right to remain silent, etc. Do you understand this, sir? Trump, yes. Right to an attorney, an appointment if you cannot afford. Do you understand that, sir? Trump, yes, I do. The judge has then ordered the prosecutors to produce all exculpatory evidence to the defendant. That's the latest update from inside the courtroom. And he has pleaded not guilty, I am told.
So, what are your thoughts? We'll open up the phone lines, 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971. Text to the studio via the free-to-download app. Welcome to those of you listening live stream audio, crystal clear audio, as if you were in the studio with me. You can access that via the app or the website, 710knus.com/Stephan. We're on social media at Tub Show, T-U-B-B-S Show, Facebook and Twitter. And, of course, you can catch us later. And if you do that, maybe you hear it the first time and then hear it again. Or if you can't be with us, 4 to 7 Mountain Time, commercial break-free podcasts available via the app or the website as well. Once again, the number, 303-696-1971. Do you think that this actually benefits Donald Trump? Does it hurt him? Seriously. Now, of course, the former president is going to act like this is, which I do think. I agree with Donald Trump. Maybe not to the level that you do or the level that he would want me to personally. But as a Trump supporter, two-time voter, I am certainly seeing how this is a weaponized Department of Justice. There's not one level for all, one size fits all. There's a two-tiered justice system at minimum, in my opinion. Maybe yours, maybe not. But is this good for him? I told you Tuesday about a poll that I saw this past Monday that said of likely Republican presidential voters, who's your guy? 54% say they would vote for Donald Trump to be the Republican nominee. I'm certainly assuming that those 54% would vote for him in the general election. The second closest, according to this one poll that I saw on Monday, the second closest competitor, as we talked about earlier in the week, at 17%, he's at number two. That would be Ron DeSantis. I would just say I wouldn't be too cocky if I were Donald Trump, but it may be too late, and it most certainly doesn't matter what I say. But I wouldn't be cocky. I would be, and I'll tell you one thing. I watched the live coverage when he got off of that plane once it had landed at Reagan. He looked pissed. I'm sure he looked pissed inside the courtroom. I'm sure he looked pissed off all the way on that motorcade ride into D.C. and the federal court building. I'm sure on the way through the process with Secret Service and United States Marshals and that whole, the whole dog and pony show that, you know, I'm really glad is not part of the media frenzy. You know, they take him down into a basement and they don't know. They didn't fingerprint him. No, they didn't take his photo. I wouldn't be cocky, but I sure as heck, from my perspective out here in good old USA outside the Beltway, I understand why you would be so incredibly angry. This is where I insert the commentary that many of you don't like to hear. Donald Trump is not above the law. Donald Trump is not perfect. Once again, Donald Trump is not above the law. If crimes were committed, may he get a fair trial. How have you thought of this down the road? If this ever gets to a trial, how in the world is that jury selection going to go? I've covered a few trials in my career. I've sat through a few processes known as voir dire, the jury selection process. Some of them, watching paint dry literally is more exciting. Some of them you're like, wow, I didn't think I'd hear that ever from any like walking human being. But how do you seat a jury? I mean, and with the way things are today, and I say today in like society, you're on that Trump jury. If you've got what, you know, 12 jurors, and probably in this case, you'd probably have six alternates, if not more, everybody. Well, I would be stunned if it were not everyone that was thinking going in, I could get a book deal. I could be on Good Morning America with George Stephanopoulos. I may be somebody. How do you get a fair trial if you're Donald Trump? Again, 303-696-1971. Let's start off in Littleton. Jay joins us. And brother, welcome and good afternoon to you.
Let's get this going.
Let's do it.
Let's go. So we've got the insane failure of Jack Smith, and of course most Democrats who are so historically illiterate they don't know what they had before frickin' breakfast in the morning and what went on the planet. Have no idea who this guy is. He was Eric Holder's right-hand failure for the various things that Eric Holder should already be in jail for and hasn't ever been prosecuted or even indicted for anything.
He doesn't even answer to a subpoena, brother.
No, it's truly amazing. And in this world, to live as a Democrat and not know actual reality and just get spoon-fed the insanity from all of the different mainstream media outlets and have the wherewithal or the lack of wherewithal, frankly, to even look outside. Democrats never want to look behind the curtain, which is ironic.
Right.
They don't want to see who the actual man is back there pulling levers. They don't want to know. They just want to get that juicy power that they've got thrown their way all the time for no reason, without any earning it whatsoever. These guys are so filthy, so rotten, so dirty. He'll never get a fair trial in D.C. Let me just go ahead and say that right off the bat,
yep.
Which I'm sure to Democrats' glee, which is, just, again,
that's
this
sick.
Is America.
Yeah, that's sick.
This is America. This is not some freaking banana republic in the South American continent. This is America where we expect justice equal for all. And the Department of Justice has been an absolutely steady and spectacular display of one-sidedness in all of their dealings with with the Democrat Party leadership in general, and then the rest of America. It's truly insane. Just listening to this and watching this every day, it's just got to drive Americans nuts. Four Trumps by Jack Smith, the whack job, which, of course, I expected. Everybody expected this. And by the way, Democrats, in case you didn't know, you could literally indict a tomato sandwich. Mm-hmm. So that means nothing. I mean, I'm actually telling you a fact.
You don't even have meat on that. Most people say ham sandwich.
Nothing.
You don't even need meat. You just went tomato.
Well, like all Democrat indictments, I have zero meat to it, by the way. Yeah, you can take that with you.
Yeah.
To close this thing out.
Well, I got a question for you though, because I always give you the big finish, and you always deliver. But here's something that Alexa just texted in the studio, and I want to read in part. One thing I've heard and believe is true, this text says, is if Trump wasn't running for president, it's unlikely some or all of these charges would be pursued. Ain't that the truth?
Of course.
Or there wouldn't be deadline, this just like seemingly we've got to do this. If he were not, I think they actually, and this is tough for me to say, Jay, because you and I are on the same page when it comes to the whack job libs. I even think this is like being kind to our friends on the left. I think they would just look the other way and they would just let Trump just go off and do whatever if he weren't running for president. I have said this from Jump Street. And if you've listened, friends, or Jay, if you've heard me say this before, and I'm going to say it again, it must be nice. It must be nice to have your one political opponent, and we're 15 months from another presidential election, and you are, wink, wink, having nothing to do with yet another indictment. Again, brother, it must be nice.
It is. As an American, and I'll loosely include all the Democrats in that as they try to listen to this and follow logic, which I know is hard for them, but when you step back and look at this, if you just took away the United States of America, the Department of Justice, and the names were changed to Russian, you would 100% agree this is a communist kangaroo court, and always has been.
Yep.
But they're incapable of stepping back to actually view anything. So I'll leave it with this. Donald J. Trump will 100% get my vote. I do not care who is running, and I have to write his ass in. I'll do it, libs, here in Colorado. But he is 100% going to get my vote. And those stats you were talking about, I bet those are low if you run another one. Because I bet at this point, if he runs and he's actually
right.
been incarcerated.
Yep.
If he runs and he's actually been incarcerated, there's a whole new sect of people who they've been trying to keep from seeing
That's
any logic.
That's a great
fact,
point. Yes.
That are going to look at this and
yep.
go, what?
Wait a minute.
Half of my brothers have been incarcerated. What's wrong with that? So I'll leave it at this. Democrats, get ready to have the President of the United States running his office from within jail. And I'm out.
Thank you, Jay. Always an excellent call. 303-696-1971. Alexa brings up a great point via text. We'll talk about that until about 4:57 or so. And then I'm going to preview when we come back after a quick timeout for traffic and weather. Want to preview the rest of the program for you. We've got two in-studio guests that you want to talk about. It takes some guts to be in here. She's a cult survivor. She is going to be here. And her sister is going to be here. And the sister, the way I understand it, helped pretty much rescue this woman who got involved in a cult, I believe, starting back in 2006. It takes some guts. And you might say, well, that's kind of square peg round hole. That has nothing to do with Donald Trump or Robin Nicetta. That has nothing to do with, Mike Johnston and the rats in Denver and Decay. We're going to talk after the news coming up at the top of the hour. It might surprise you. It might just might surprise you as to why these two women wanted to come in and how the whole kind of trail got them from somehow finding this program to coming in studio, it's a very interesting one, and it is a story angle that may or may not surprise you. I know that's kind of a teaser. That was intentional. But I hope you can join us for the second hour of the program, where we have a cult survivor and her sister who got her out of said cult. We'll talk all about that. We'll take a time out, and when we come back, we can take more phone calls, 303-696-1971, more texts to the studio as well on the Donald Trump court appearance from earlier today. But I also want to talk about rats. No, I do. Because we are less than 24 hours from the first real big action from the new Denver and Decay mayor.
I haven't done anything yet.
Well, starting tomorrow, they're going to clear out near Five Point, like 22nd and Stout. Starting at 8 a.m. tomorrow, they've given everybody plenty of notice, because that is, if you didn't know this, that's legally what they've got to do now. They've got to give them notice. You've been warned. We're going to clear you out. Is it a game of whack-a-mole, though, in Denver and Decay, and really the greater Denver and Decay metro area? You can sweep somebody from here, and if they don't take the services that are offered and costing people, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars over the course of years, is it really going to matter? Because they can clear out something tomorrow due to rat infestation, but what's the point if they move across town or another block and the rats will come eventually? And you can't blame food trucks like they tried to do a few years ago down at Civic Center Park. So we'll talk about the cleanup, the first, I guess you could thank a rat. Never thought of that, Lou. You could actually thank a rat for the homeless cleanup tomorrow near 22nd and Stout. 303-696-1971. Stephen Tubbs with you. We are off and running on a Thursday. This is 710 KNUS. Midway through the 4 o'clock hour, Stephen Tubbs with you on this Thursday. You know, we're going to peek behind the media curtain here. There's a courtesy in the broadcast business. What Lori just did was called a news tease. She's teasing what she, one of the stories in her award-winning newscast coming up within the next 15 minutes. She teases one of the stories. Now, we peek behind the media curtain always, because I tell you the truth. I've been in it enough. Some of you won't even care. But the goal would be, homeless deaths up 50%. I think I'll tune in. Keep listening. That's a good tease. Then there's a courtesy. Now, one of the things I could do is, and trust me, I've had this happen throughout my career. I've been guilty of it, and I've been the victim of it. Somebody before, you're like, I'm going to tell you in like 5 minutes all about the latest widget. And then somebody else on the air, within that 5 minute window, they tell you all about that widget. So you kind of, what it is stealing the thunder. And because I love Lori and she's awesome, I am not going to steal Lori's thunder on the homeless death increase. I will only say this, and this is not stealing thunder. It's not stealing anything, but think fentanyl. Think fentanyl. So Lori will have that story straight ahead. It's okay, because we've got tons to talk about between now and the newscast coming up in, again, within the next 15 minutes or so. We are on the eve of the rat. Lou, we should have done this. Careful planning. It's live radio. This is what we should have used. What's his face? Was it Al? Who was it? Al Stewart? The year of the rat. Now it's going to be stuck in your head. Yeah, it's apparently the eve of the rat, because tomorrow morning, starting at 8 o'clock and following every rule known to man, because God knows someone would be ready, and I guarantee you, they're already ready to file some sort of injunction or lawsuit or trying to stop whatever. You got to follow the rules now. Even though Denver in Decay has a, say it with me, camping ban, you, if you're in that area right now, I bet you don't drive more than 3 blocks without seeing a tent. If you're in downtown Denver in Decay or the surrounding, say, ballpark neighborhood. We've got a camping ban. You voters in Denver and Decay, you voted for it. And some of you clowns even voted to get that, what, 0.25% tax increase to help homeless programs? Suckers! Suckers! I mean, dumb clowns! Why? Why were you so stupid, so many people? But I love you. Even though I think you're stupid. And a clown. And an idiot. If you'd vote, or you did vote, to have any kind of more monetary assistance go to homeless programs, this is, say it with me this time too, homelessness is a business. So we're on the eve of the rat. Tomorrow near 22nd and Stout, there's supposed to be a cleanup. Why is it the eve of the rat? Well, they're cleaning it up because of health concerns. See, we are not a third world country, though so many on the left want to act like we could be and it would be all right. See, how bad, friends, does it have to get in a homeless encampment to first, how bad does it have to get to have rats in the beginning anyway? Then, how bad does it have to get in Denver and Decay at some homeless encampment that you have so many rats that people on the outside know, and they take it up the food chain, and it gets so bad, and the health department people come out, and, yeah, I saw rats as big as Greyhound buses. How bad does it have to get? The answer, it has to be pretty bad for under this new mayor.
I haven't done anything yet.
That the first real thing in his first 30 days, he hasn't, again, I'm giving him until the end of what is like, it's like mid-October-ish will be the end of his first 100 days. I want it to work. I want him. He's a nice guy. Nice guys finish last. I want it to work. But how bad does the problem have to be where tomorrow there's going to be a homeless cleanup because it's the eve of the rat, and the rat infestation problem near 22nd and Stout is so bad that they're going to have to go in there and clean things up. Now, the good thing is, you may have heard over the last week or so, as long as they allow homeless encampments, don't you worry. Now they're going to start getting trash service. Please, even our friends on the left, if you haven't heard that, let that sink in. This city will be performing trash pickup at homeless encampments. Oh, and did I mention, it seems like there's an echo in here. Did I mention that the city voters said that there is a camping ban? We don't want, no. Did I mention that?
I haven't done anything yet.
Mike Johnston, again, by the end of this year, and he has hinted about, certainly in his first term, he may end homelessness. We're certainly going to try. Again, it's Denver's Road Home Part 2. I don't know if I'm rolling the dice. Well, I know I'm rolling the dice here. Anybody within the sound of my voice right now, do you live near 22nd and Stout? The odds are slim on that. For no other reason than I could pick, does anybody live near Colorado and Mexico? I mean, the odds are maybe, you know, in this moment in time, not picking on a certain neighborhood, but anybody within the sound of my voice, if you live near 22nd and Stout, would you give me a call on the Eve of the Rat hotline? That is 303-696-1971. I'd love to get a description, a firsthand account. I plan on going down there probably by 7:15, 7:30 tomorrow because I want to see firsthand how this complete and utter potential show actually unfolds. Okay, the odds are nobody listening to me right now lives in the area of 22nd and Stout. How about this? Anybody within the sound of my voice, have you been near 22nd and Stout within the last month? We'll open up the odds, just we'll increase the odds just a little bit. Okay, let's really increase the odds. Anybody within the sound of my voice, have you driven around Denver and Decay city limits within the last month, and what have you seen? Have you seen a decrease? And hand to God, if you have, I believe you. And I'd love to let's acknowledge, hey, something, this used to be at Colfax and Lincoln, and it was horrible, and now it's, you could eat off the sidewalk, it's so clean. Note to self, I would not eat off of any sidewalk anywhere, especially in Denver and Decay. But on this year, no, Eve of the Rat, how bad does it have to be? How bad, friends, is your city run? If you have to, have your first big cleanup under a brand new, shiny, new car smell, new mayoral administration, it actually gets out. I mean, they couldn't even, I don't know why we even know this, to be quite honest with you. They could have just said, well, we put all of the homeless encampments in the city and county of Denver in a fishbowl, and we just pulled out this one, and oh, 22nd and Stout. I'm surprised that, and I'm not going to kick them. I'm happy to know that we know the location of the first, you know, rat-infested homeless encampment cleanup. I will say, I have a feeling, and I didn't listen to every moment of the last press conference that lasted about 20 minutes earlier this week from this guy.
I haven't done anything yet.
However, I don't think he gave a specific location. I think it was intrepid reporters in Denver and Decay that actually said, oh, yeah, this is happening near 22nd and Stout. Now, they would tell you, you know what they would tell you as a sidebar? Well, we don't want to disclose the location because of security concerns. Listen, the security concern should be some rat that's as big as, you know, your arm and carrying an AR. That should be the concern. But I bet you anything, the city didn't officially say, media, please gather and please RSVP to this email address if you'd like to watch the cleanup. Somehow it got out. Well, I've spoiled the surprise party, because that's where it's going to be tomorrow morning starting at 8 a.m. Again, I ask you, how bad does it have to be? How bad is the rat problem when this is the first thing, really, since you've made homelessness mayor, you're seemingly one of your top priorities? How bad is your city run if you can't enforce a camping ban and you're afraid of maybe, you know, inequity or, you know, not including somebody or certainly offending someone? Well, how well is Denver run? Some of you may have seen over the last couple of days, there was, I don't know if it was done by Wallet Hub, but Wallet Hub does, they do polls on everything. Oh, it is Wallet Hub. Yeah. Denver in Decay, Colorado, USA. Out of 149 cities, remember, Wallet Hub ranked Denver at 135. 135 of 149 as to the best cities to live in right now in these United States. That's not good. But now, just a couple of days ago, it comes out that Denver and Decay is listed out of the top 50. I think they did 50 cities, the worst run cities in America. Denver comes in at 15. Saying, well, that's, at least we're not 16. Cities that are more poorly run than Denver, at number 14, Memphis, followed by Yonkers, New York, Chicago, Kansas City, at number 10, Detroit, number 9, Tacoma. See what happens in the beautiful Pacific Northwest when you allow all this shit to happen? Defund the police, and we don't want to prosecute anybody, and cops are bad, and cops are pigs, and defund the police, defund the police, defund the police. Tacoma, at the 9th worst run city. Number 8, Hartford, Connecticut, followed by Oakland. We're only like 8 better than Oakland? Gulfport, Mississippi, at number 6. Top 5 worst run cities. Poor Flint can't just catch a break. Flint, Michigan just cannot catch a break. Wallet Hub's ranking of the best to worst cities, ranking Flint, Michigan at number 145 of 149. You're saying, well, it could get worse. Yeah, but barely. At number 4 worst run cities in this country, Cleveland. Number 3, so nice they named it twice, New York, New York. The second worst run city, coming in at city number 148 of 149 of the best to worst. 148, yeah, I guess it could get worse by one. Chattanooga, Tennessee. And at number 1, ranked 149 of 149 cities, ranked number 1 as the worst run city in the country, would be Any guesses? Think West Coast. Nope, not Seattle. Nope, not Portland. Nope, not San Jose. San Francisco, ranked the number one worst. So back to, before we get ready for a break and get Lori's news, traffic and weather. Here's what it says when it comes to the 15th worst run city in the state. That would be Denver, Colorado. Quote, Denver has a mayor and a 13-member city council with 11 members representing geographic districts and two elected citywide. Denver is among the top 10 large U.S. cities with high crime rates, according to the Common Sense Institute. Hey, a shout out for our friends at the Common Sense Institute. That is, it says, a free market policy analysis group based in Colorado. The city ranked the third highest in auto theft, the sixth highest for property crimes, and the 10th highest for rape. That is the most recent. Now, you know, as we go to the break, you know what's sick and funny and sick at the same time? There is at least one elected idiot in this state. There's guaranteed. There is at least one elected idiot in the city and county of Denver that would say, see, it was just like 12 short months ago. Denver was actually number one in auto theft. See, we're making progress. Now vote for me. So again, the eve of the rat. Denver listed as the 15th worst run city. And some of you may even say that's generous. And to be quite honest with you, with what I have seen and the amount of time over parts of four decades that I've lived here, I am, I guess, surprised that Denver isn't in the top 10. Anybody with me?
This was a riot.
I haven't done anything yet.
When we come back, I got to get to this one story. And then we have terrific guests coming in for the hour at 5 o'clock. There's this article that came out via the Associated Press, which is just, I'm just so sickened by how bad the Associated Press is. It's nothing like when I tried and failed to become an Associated Press intern in Los Angeles in the early 1990s. I just wasn't probably smart enough, wasn't good enough. Now, I would avoid the Associated Press and wanting to be a part of that organization like the plague. Listen to this headline, and I'll get to it in our next segment. And I'm quoting here. More teachers are quitting their jobs. Educators of color often are more likely to quit. Teachers are leaving jobs in growing numbers, state reports show. The turnover in some cases is highest among teachers of color. Another headline for this tweet, teachers of color are quitting their jobs in higher numbers in some cities. Many say the burden placed on them has become too heavy. So at the risk of being labeled yet again a misogynist, anti-gay, anti-anybody, anti-women, what else? Nazi, womanizer, racist. I'm going to go there. I will open up this story, read a little bit to you. And give you my take. Shouldn't it just be like we need to treat our teachers better, and they need to be paid more, and they need to be smart with money within school districts, and it really doesn't matter the skin color. It's tough to be a teacher if you're black, green, purple, white, blue, or red. So we'll get to that coming up after the break, and then I'll preview our guests coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour. You can transform your cluttered kitchens and disastrous drawers into organized bliss with our friends at Roll 'Em Out Shelves. Joyce and Brent are just terrific. Mom and son powerhouse team celebrating 20 years in business this year. And whether it's a lazy Susan system in, you know, a corner area that just has all kinds of wasted space, maybe you've got a trash can system you've had your eye on, or you didn't know anything about a trash can system, they can help you with that. Spice drawer organization, or taking, say, any drawer in your home, and that includes in your garage as well, and making those shelves be rollout shelves. About a year and a half plus ago, they transformed our kitchen. We use them every day, our rollouts, and absolutely love them. And plus, they're just terrific people. See their satisfied customer reviews, all 5-star reviews for Roll 'Em Out Shelves. Like this one, Joyce and Brent have completed 2 separate jobs in the kitchen, and they've allowed us to utilize every space in our home, including false fronts that are now actually functioning drawers. Schedule your free in-home estimate today. Receive your first four rollouts installed at no charge. That's an $80 value. And you'll see firsthand the great stuff they can do. And customizing your space, whether it's your kitchen or bath, pantry, garage, laundry room, basement, they can help you. Tell them Stefan sent you. 303-475-9601. 303-475-9601. Or check out their gallery of videos and still photos as well. Become inspired right there. RollEmOutShelves.com. That's RollEmOutShelves.com.
The magistrate judge has read the four charges to Trump and the penalties, including the 20-year maximum sentence for the charge of conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding and an obstruction of an official proceeding. Trump remains looking at the judge as she slowly reads the charges and the max penalties. Trump has been read his rights, the right to remain silent, etc. Do you understand this, sir? Trump, yes. Right to an attorney, an appointment if you cannot afford. Do you understand that, sir? Trump, yes, I do. The judge has then ordered the prosecutors to produce all exculpatory evidence to the defendant. That's the latest update from inside the courtroom. And he has pleaded not guilty, I am told.
That just from a couple of hours ago from CBS News live coverage. Lori will have more coming up at the top of the hour. We have two special in-studio guests that will join us coming up in a little less than 20 minutes or so. One is named Lindsay, the other Tony. They are sisters. And Tony was recruited into what she describes as a cult. Tony is a listener to the program and this station and reached out to me via email. And there is an interesting, what we call in the news biz, I guess, a peg. There's an interesting peg as to why she would be interested in coming on the program and sharing her very personal story. Her sister is here not only for support, they also do a podcast, and we'll get all the information on that, but don't miss it. It takes a lot of guts to come in on the radio. So we'll talk with Lindsay and Tony coming up just after the news at the top of the hour. If you are just joining us, there's the Trump news and the year of the rat. Actually, it's the eve of the rat. Pardon me to Al Stewart. Not the year of the cat, but the eve of the rat. As Denver in Decay has its first homeless cleanup. They're not going to call this, I don't think, a sweep. But there's such a bad rat infestation, that they need to do something. So they will tomorrow near 22nd and Stout starting at 8 a.m. It's amazing, isn't it? And then, you know, to kind of piggyback on what Lori had said in her newscast about the homeless and the death rate up more than 50%. This is not a slam on any news person, especially my friend Lori, but this should not be a surprise. We had members of the media in this city earlier this year touting the, quote, leveling off of fentanyl-related deaths in the city and county of Denver. And I'm just, I could prove it if I went back to listen to some podcast. But, I mean, you got to call a timeout. No, don't get complacent. Don't let these idiots that are in the media here saying things like leveling off, it's just all fine. Well, at least we're getting a handle on it. Friends, I'm telling you, more than 70,000 Americans alone in the year 2022 died of fentanyl poisoning. Not this whole thing we label as the opioid epidemic. Let me ask you a question, and you're wrong if you don't say yes. Do you think that 70,000 number is going to increase once all is said and done and tallied for 2023? The answer is not no. The answer is yes. So all of a sudden getting this homeless deaths in Denver and Decay gone up more than 50%, and it's fentanyl. Well, no shit. That's why guys like this,
I haven't done anything yet,
need to not only focus on the eve of the rat, but you need to focus on and you need to huddle up with in your infancy of your mayor's term, you need to get with your prosecutors, you need to meet with the law enforcement, you need to give them more resources and more money if they want it. Yeah, I said it. And we need to start prosecuting people. Meantime, you have elected idiot officials that, you know, shoot down any kind of common sense laws when it comes to fentanyl in this state. It makes me sick. So I don't have a lot of time, but this is just another thing that makes me sick. This Associated Press story. Teachers are leaving jobs in growing numbers in Pennsylvania. The turnover, in some cases, highest among teachers of color. And then it goes on to, you know, sad piano music is needed here. A major culprit, stress from pandemic area burnout, low pay, and the intrusion of politics into classrooms. How does that not impact any teacher of any race, of any color, of any economic status, or any sexual orientation? But what does the shame and guilt Associated Press focus on? Well, this has to be impacting people of color more. This literally says, quote, "But the burdens can be heavier in schools serving high poverty communities that also have higher numbers of teachers of color." Again, cue up the sad piano music. I think there must be a portion of the Associated Press and a portion of the mainstream media, all outlets, internet, radio, television, that just they must have a board and they meet once a week. What kind of shame and guilt stories can we put out the following week? Stay with us. A terrific hour of live radio. A local cult survivor joins us next.